I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
He is Jalen Rose. I am David Jacoby. We what are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
Give the people what they want.
The Clippers waxed the Nuggets last night. There's a little bit of controversy about the Nets hiring Steve Nash, but we start the show with the way that the Raptors and Celtics game ended with just 0.5 seconds on the clock. Lowry with this cross-court pass. OG Anunoby hits the three to save the Raptors season. Jalen, what do you think of this shot?
The thing that always gets overlooked when game-winning shots like this take place is the flowers for the passer. Grant Hill to Christian Laettner in the NCAA tournament. Just the other night, I was watching Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. All he had to do was throw the ball over the top to Steven Adams. If I was coach, he'd never take the ball out again. So for Lowry to be able to make that pass over Taco Fall, 7'6", who they purposely put in the game for this reason, A, Taco, you got to make sure that he's not able to throw that pass. That's your one job, big fella. You got to be jumping up and down like your ball head's on fire. With that being said, Lowry got the ball over. Jaylen Brown fell asleep defensively. He did not realize that pass was going to get there. Now, once it gets there, how about Anunoby, who isn't a shooter? He continued to improve his shot since college. And all of a sudden, you get off a game winner with 0.5 and have enough oomph on it from range to get it into the hoop. And it's the most important play of your team's season, because we all know if they go down 0-3, what happens? An amazing play by Nick Nurse and his staff. A wonderful execution. The Raptors needed it.
One thing I want you to notice about Lowry's passing is, if this was not in the bubble, if you look at the footage right here, if this was not in the bubble, he would have been in the third row. Seriously, he would have been in the third row throwing that pass if this was not in the bubble. Like, look at where he is standing when he throws the pass. See how far the distance between him and Taco Fall? Like, that's, and the pass is also right in the shooting pocket. If you only have 0.5 seconds, that can't be over here. It can't be over here. It's right in the shooting pocket. It was such an amazing play. But just like you want to recognize the passer, I also want to recognize something that people will overlook from the end of this game. What it took from the Raptors to get in the position for this miraculous shot to save their season. Because what it was is possession after possession, their tiny little guards getting to the rim against the Celtics and getting buckets. It was Kyle Lowry getting to the rim, and then Kyle Lowry getting to the rim again, and then Van Vliet getting to the rim. These are the sort of the last three buckets. Look at Lowry getting to the rim and scoring, and then he does it again. And then, of course, you have Van Vliet getting to the rim with this reverse layup. Tough, tough shot with the offhand. See, I think people always look at this shot and they'll always remember this shot. But what the Raptors did, what they needed just to get in position to get to that shot, is just as important. Now that they are not down 0-3, which is, you know, death sentence in a series, it's 2-1. They can even it up in game four. What do you think their chances are moving forward in this series?
I've always anticipated a long series, in particular without Gordon Hayward. I got to see Pascal Siakam put his footprints on this series. I haven't seen it take place yet. I think it will. But the Boston Celtics are in pole position because Kemba Walker's unstoppable on pick and roll. Oh, my goodness. What we didn't show is the play that he created in order to put the Celtics in position to win the game. They're going to have to do a better job of corralling him. So I still believe, like, the Celtics are going to win, but I anticipate a long series.
What was hilarious about that pass to Tice that I thought won them the game was Pascal Siakam just had to smile because he got looked off. He started running out to the three-point line, and he's like, oh, I think we just lost the game. Now, that game was close. It came down to the wire. The game that came after it was not close at all.
Putting it on what?
the Clippers were at full strength. They had Pat Bev, who was energizing them, but they were humming on all cylinders. What did you see from the Clippers yesterday against the Nuggets?
I saw a Denver team that came off an emotional seven-game series, and they weren't fight ready from the beginning, and the Clippers knew it. One, the Clippers are already just more talented than every team that they're going to face from top to bottom. When you see Morris making plays like that, and Lou Will and Montrezl Harrell hanging on the rim, Shamet giving them quality minutes, and Zubac playing really well. They have so many guys that can contribute to what they're doing. And so for the Nuggets, they got to be driven off of Jokic, have to be driven off of Murray, who clearly was fatigued coming off the first series.
It did seem like in the beginning of the game, in that first quarter, they were riding the high of winning game seven, but it just seemed like fatigue, emotional and physical, set in as the game went on, and the Clippers just had their way with them. Now, Jamal Murray was so electric in that duel against Donovan Mitchell in the previous series against the Jazz, but he didn't look that great last night. Now, Jalen, is this the Clippers' defense? Is this fatigue? Is it a mix of the two?
So one thing that people can't underestimate is why players get minutes. And they have a great, young, dynamic backcourt. Murray's a terrific scorer. Harris is a terrific defender. You put them together, you hope that they offset what each other's strengths and weaknesses are. But they're going to need Murray to be fantastic in order for them to compete against this high-scoring Clipper team. I need Michael Porter Jr. to stay in the starting lineup. I know Gary Harris is back. He did a terrific job playing defense late against Donovan Mitchell. But don't allow that to make you feel like you don't need scoring. You're going to need it to start the game. Michael Porter Jr. is the wild card to make that happen.
I would love to see him get some more minutes as well. And there's an aspect to this game that I found very interesting. I said, you know what? I can't wait to talk to Jalen about this. So, Jalen, please take us behind the curtain. What they showed last night during the game was Marcus Morris, who played great last night. He came over and gave his baby son a kiss. Look at this. I think it's halftime. Just gets a little kiss. His son is the second one on the way there. And this was sort of a visual confirmation that the families are now in the bubble. Now there's only so many teams left. We have families in the bubble. And I wanted to ask you, Jalen, as someone who played in the league for 27 years and also has children yourself, how does that dynamic change a player's approach on and off the court now that you have family in the bubble with you?
You know, Denzel once said it in Training Day, King Kong ain't got nothing on me. That's how a man feels when his significant other and his kids are around. I don't have to tell you, Jacoby. When your kids are running to you, don't you feel like beating your chest? Don't you feel like King Kong? Don't you feel like your shoes just got oversized and your head just got a little bit bigger?
Jalen, after this summer, I feel like running the other way, but normally I do feel that way, yes.
and that's what you see from the players, a different level of comfort, a different level of enthusiasm to have their loved ones around, especially during a pandemic.
It's also just a change because at this point, they've been in the same hotel, eating the same food, seeing the same faces over and over and over again, that life can be difficult. We've heard this from many players, LeBron James, Jaylen Brown, and Paul George, many others. It's just nice to have a change of scenery, some new faces, have some real, real loved ones around. I think that would inspire me to play better. It certainly did work for Marcus Morris. Marcus Morris has got to have his kid at every game for the rest of his career now because he played so well last night. Jalen, there was some news that we didn't get to talk about yesterday that I really want to talk to you about as well, and that is the hiring of Steve Nash as the Brooklyn Nets head coach. A lot of people are tracing his relationship to Sean Marks and also to Kevin Durant, as he was a consultant with the Warriors, as sort of the reason he got this opportunity as someone who has not just never been a head coach before, but never been an assistant coach before. Jalen, your thoughts on the hiring of Steve Nash as the Brooklyn Nets head coach?
I'm going to be frank with you, Jacoby. I don't like this hire.
Why is that?
I love this hire. I love this hire. Because each job isn't created equal. And you have to tie relationships back to every thread that takes place. And I know that's where systemic racism comes from. However, in this case, I've been on a team with Steve Nash. And he was the MVP of the league. And you know who else was on that team? Sean Marks. And he got a chance to see up close and personal one of the best basketball intellects that the game has seen. And then Steve Nash went to the Golden State Warriors and got closer to one iceberg slim. Kevin Durant, that's a relationship. The Phoenix Arizona ties run strong. And so now you look at Steve Kerr, you say, okay, Steve Nash and him both have a relationship. Maybe he has that potential as somebody that was not a coach that also can now teach Kyrie Irving and garner his respect because he's done things in the league that Kyrie has not done as a player, like win back-to-back MVP, like lead the league in assists. You're going to need both of those guys to look over at the sideline and not only like the coach, but respect the coach. And finally, if you're the Nets, you probably didn't want to write a blank check for this hire because both of those guys are big-time contracts on your roster and you're still trying to build around them. So it totally makes sense. I understand people are trying to tie the fact that there's so many available black coaches and they didn't get a look. I want to see how the other jobs play out. But for Steve Nash and the Nets, I don't like this hire. I love it.
I can understand that the optics are a certain way with everything that's going on in our society with so many black players on the floor and so few black head coaches calling the shots. The optics are a certain way. But if I am Sean Marks, this decision is as simple as this. Kevin, Kyrie, who do you want as your head coach? Because this team is going to go as far as those two players take them. We all know that Kyrie and KD have unique personalities, and I want to make sure that they're happy with the person who is leading the team. So if I was Sean Marks, I would not just take what they have in consideration when making this hire. I would basically allow them to make the hire for me because I want those two players to be happy in the locker room.
And also, if we work it in reverse, two black players, to your point, making a decision of who's going to be their head coach, and they just happen to choose the person they felt like could be best for the job.
It is time for some very important news that matters. Canada's Chief Public Health Officer, Theresa Tam, has some very important information for her Canadian people. If you're going to have sex with a stranger, make sure you wear a mask and you should avoid kissing new people. Jalen, do you think the great people of Canada will take heed to this advice during this pandemic?
I think the people of Canada will take heed to this advice because as you start to grow and mature and become a teenager, you realize there are sexual encounters that you have that you may not want to kiss the person. I'm just saying that they may take place. They may take place in your life.
Oh, no. Well, there are also...
Because there are some people that probably feel like, wait a minute, you know... You know, some people walking the face of the earth are probably feeling like I wouldn't have sex with somebody, you know, if I needed to wear a mask. You know,
Matt,
that's why they're
you can... got to give the
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The matchup is upon us tonight on ESPN. It is game one between the small ball Rockets and the tall ball Lakers. I can't wait for this one. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby, and that is the series that we start with now. Jalen, we all kind of knew it was going to happen eventually, and tonight is the night we get to see the Rockets against the Lakers. What are you keying on in this series?
Superstar power is what I'm keying on. And starting with the Los Angeles Lakers, led by LeBron James, he's the catalyst for tall ball at 6'9". Most lineups, he's going to be the tallest individual on either team. There are going to be times that takes place. And you know where he has to dominate? Driving the ball to the basket, getting layups, getting dunks. Same with Anthony Davis. He has great skill, can shoot the three, got all of the moves for a guy his size, but I need him and them operating right in front of that basket if they're going to be dominant against the Rockets.
One thing that I expect to see happening is this. Is let's say Anthony Davis doesn't listen to Jalen Rose and he shoots one of those little turnaround baseline 12-foot fadeaway things that he does.
Yeah.
I'm focused on the offensive rebounding of the Los Angeles Lakers. Because the Rockets, they rebound so poorly that if the Lakers, like if they leave their bigs in, if they give Howard minutes and they give McGee minutes and they don't go small, I really think they can dominate the offensive board, just lead to more possessions and lead to more points and make it really, really difficult on the Rockets if they stay big. Because if you look at the Rockets rebounding numbers, they're really bad. I mean, the Rockets do a lot of things well. One thing they do not do well is rebound the basketball on both ends of the floor. And it's you can see it right here. I mean, it's the fewest rebounds per game since they went small ball is the Rockets are behind your terrible Pistons and the Bulls. And then it is the Rockets giving up the most offensive rebounds per game. That is something that I will key on in this series. And Jalen, that's not it. We have the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, the MVP, who will soon be the back-to-back MVP, back against the wall against the Miami Heat tonight in what I'm going to call a must-win game. What are you keying on in the big game three between the Heat and the Bucks?
I remember doing this with Russell Westbrook a few years ago, and then he became a fan and a media favorite and won MVP. There will not be any Giannis slander on my watch. I know that each young player that isn't Michael Jordan is going to have flaws. But all of these referendums on, is he got what it takes to be the best player on a team that wins a championship? Of course he does. Have you ever heard of a guy named Dirk Nowitzki? He did it with one team. I don't want to discourage players like Giannis, Dame Lillard, and James Harden to dumb down their careers and feel like, oh, if they don't win five rings, then they're a failure. There have been 10 situations and or players in the history of the NBA that have won multiple rings, from Bill Russell through LeBron James. You ask anybody that has at least two rings, hey, what kind of guy is Isaiah Thomas? Tell me more about Magic. Tell me more about Bird. Tell me more about Kobe. It's about 10 of those situations. Giannis has what it takes. Now, his supporting cast got to be more consistent. Middleton, you got to show that you're an all-star, not just playing on the number one seed. Eric Bledsoe, I need you to be playing hard and being effective every game. Those guys got to bring it, Jacoby. If they go down 3-0, that's an embarrassment to a squad that's accomplished so much the last couple of years.
Not just that. You know, I predicted the Heat to win this series. And if they go down 3-0, you know what I see happening? Giannis in a new uniform. You know what's going to happen. If they go down 3-0... we got Giannis as the third Splash Brother. He's like the stepbrother that joins the Splash Brothers. I can't wait. I can't wait for the Heat to put away the Bucks, Giannis to demand a trade, and then Giannis to end up in the Bay with the Warriors. You put the number one pick together. You put him with some other assets, number two pick
ring
with some
chasing.
Assets. Next thing you know, you got Giannis chasing the rings, and it will happen. It will happen just like it happened with KD. I can't wait for that to happen because I think
don't do it, Giannis.
The series, the Heat will win tonight.
How about this? I'm glad you used that example. KD don't seem too happy to me that he went to Golden State.
Okay, well, we will see. Another important development in the National Basketball Association yesterday was not a surprise, but the rookie of the year is Ja Morant of the Grizzlies. Jalen, what do you think about Ja and the Grizzlies?
You know how much I love Morant, and you were one of those guys like, wait a minute, Zion played 10 games. Can he win Rookie of the Year? He was the guy from beginning to end.
I was not.
Good for you. Leading the team in scoring, leading the team in assists. They overachieved. He's shown that he has what it takes to be a dynamic guard, all NBA level for a really long time.
Now, Jalen, question was posed is, who would you rather build a team around, Ja Morant or Zion Williamson? And I thought this was an easy, obvious answer, Ja Morant. Hands down, no question, didn't even think about it. But you're going the other way.
The big guy. Got to go with the big guy.
Really? No.
Look at those numbers.
Well,
look at those numbers.
You could not be more
wrong. Got to go with the big guy. Look at that field goal percentage. You got to go with the big guy.
I understand that your philosophy has got to go with the big guy, but there's something about watching these two players rested. How is Jalen so wrong about this? So I got some numbers of my own. Zion Williamson, 76% of his shots are assisted. 76% of his shots are assisted. 74% of his shots come between 0 and 3 feet. He doesn't create for anything. He doesn't create for himself, doesn't create for anybody else. Ja Morant, 28% of his shots are assisted because he creates his own shots. And he is clearly someone who makes people around him better. It is without question that I would pick Ja Morant to build my team around. And you're wrong.
You know also what makes people around them better? When you could just lob it up to the back, top of the square and he'd go grab it. You know what else makes guys better? When you get a steal and it's a 3-on-2 break and you could throw it to Zion and he'll do a 360 in the basketball game. That makes guys better too, you know.
You know what would make Zion better? Losing 30 pounds. Come on, Zion. Get in the gym, dog. Get in the gym. Eat a salad. Come on, Stretch Mark 4. When we come back, we have some fantasy football advice for you that you don't want to miss. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. You got to give the people
time. I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Happy College Colors Day. Jalen reps the Wolverines. I rep the mighty
Hail to the victors.
NYU. Jalen, every day we highlight one of the messages on the back of NBA players' jerseys with messages of the movement. Today's message is equality. What does that mean to you?
And that's what color people are looking for as it relates to law enforcement. And that's why you see protest and uprising as Freddie Gray was murdered as he was in police custody. Breonna Taylor was shot and killed while she was asleep. How about George Floyd, 8 minutes and 46 seconds with a knee on his neck while he was handcuffed? Yet Kyle Rittenhouse, a 17-year-old, can cross state lines illegally with a firearm, murder two people in the protest, not even get arrested that night, and not even get denounced by the most powerful office in the country. That's the equality that we're stomping for.
Jalen, there will be millions of fantasy football drafts this weekend. However, none will be as expensive as yours. What is your number one piece of advice for everyone building their team this weekend?
My number one piece of advice is always be unconventional. Make sure you get a really good tight end. This is not a deep tight end draft. Make sure you get a good tight end.
Make sure you always be unconventional. That advice in itself at its core is extremely unconventional.
Shout the big shot.
Everyone enjoy their weekend. We will be back on Wednesday with the next edition of Jalen and Jacoby.
We're not done.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of giving the people what they want is recording podcast exclusive content. Jalen, there's a lot I want to discuss.
What up, Dell?
But there's something that's been really heavily discussed about in the Jacoby household, and that is the story of Professor Jessica Krug, or Krug, I don't know how to say it, but this young lady is a professor of African American studies, and she has been living the life of a black woman for years, built her career around it, and then she went online and confessed that she is a white Jewish woman from Kansas. Jalen, this is not the first time this has happened. I don't know why I find this so funny. I think it's the audacity of living your life as a black woman when you are, in fact, not just like mixed or adopted and you think you might be part black, but knowing in your heart and your soul and your mind that your mom is white and your dad is white, but to live your life as a black person, it makes me laugh. Why do you think I'm laughing? Put me on the couch.
I would love to put you on the couch. Lay back, kick your feet up, get a couple of pillows and put them under your feet. Let me tell you a secret that you may or may not know. Black people have been looking at white people do this since the beginning of time. We sit back and laugh all of the time. when at some point for mass consumption, the white guy either has to own who he is, like you have, like I'm just a white guy, that, yeah, it just so happens that I love hip-hop culture. It's not necessarily making me a black guy to be married to a black woman. It just so happened that that's the person that I fell in love with. But you and I both know there are a lot of Malibu's most wanted situations happening in life. And I'm not going to name any names, but anytime somebody wears a rap music hoodie or recites a lyric or can name a song, all of a sudden, and this is where I have to check black people, we feel like we about to invite them to the barbecue. Like our standards have gotten so low. It's like, oh yeah, we invite y'all to the bar. Y'all don't invite us no damn where. When the last time you heard white people like, we invite black people somewhere? They don't be doing that. We so quick.
Well, we gonna invite them to the barbecue. And we gonna invite them.
So here's some barbecue rules for everybody that think they can invite somebody. Okay. You can't invite somebody to the black barbecue if you don't have a foundation. If you don't have a foundation and you ain't giving back to the community, you can't invite nobody to the barbecue. That's the line of demarcation.
I think one of the things that makes me laugh about this is just the audacity. Like the idea that you go to bed every night and just like when you're alone with your own thoughts, you know that you're a white girl from Kansas, but there you are at a major university, just like teaching African American studies and acting and just acting like you're not. And also, when you look at Rachel Dolezal and her, there's a commonality there. It's the nose ring. For some reason, the white girls think they're gonna get a nose ring, and all of a sudden, now people aren't gonna look at them twice when they say that they're black. I mean, another thing is I was talking to my wife about this is, if someone says they're black, I'm not going to question that. And again, it might be different
Correct.
As a white person than as a black person. Like,
Correct.
I'm just going to be like, sure. You know what I mean? Like, why would you lie about that? I'm not going to question
Correct.
You. I mean, obviously there's a spectrum. You know what I mean? There's a spectrum and there's different shades of black. But if you say you're black, I'm assume that you're telling the truth. And the idea that this person takes advantage of that and lives their entire, not just life, but also career based on that lie, it's just funny to me. I just find it funny. I really do.
I want to drill down on something that's funny to me too. Why do you think black people are so quick to try to act like they inviting y'all to the barbecue, but y'all never invite us anywhere? Can you let the audience know why?
So the question, why do I think black people are so quick to embrace white people that embrace black culture? And the opposite is not reciprocated.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that's layered. But I would say that over time, this has changed, right? But hip hop culture and what I'll call black culture was not mainstream 30 years ago. You know what I mean? It was looked upon as sort of like something that was pushed to the side. This is a quick tangent. I was watching Honey, I Shrunk the Kids with my kids and my wife. And there's not a single person of color in the whole entire movie. Like, they made the whole movie and didn't one person raise their hand and say, like, maybe we could throw in somebody, you know what I mean? Like, maybe one of their friends, or maybe someone in this business meeting could be black. Like, they never even considered that. And that wasn't even that long ago. And that's just a long-winded way of saying, like, over time, It has been more mainstream to be sort of like embrace and celebrate black culture. And I think that people of your age are still kind of stuck at 20 years ago, where you're just happy to see white people celebrate black culture. Whereas now, as you know, appropriation and culture vulture and all of that that's happening, it's a little more prevalent now. So I would say less, I think it's a generational thing as well. And I also say the opposite isn't true, because white people are scared of black people. I think that's really what it is. That's really what it boils down to. I want to simplify the whole thing. Like, I could go on a long-winded, intelligent, articulate thing, but I think still, whether
not
it's 1%
true.
Or 99%, white people are still scared
that
of black
not
people.
True.
A little bit.
That
a
is
little
not
bit.
True.
Whether so, 1% so, or 99%.
Hold on. So, I like what you did there. and I love being able to do this show with my brother. And I want to tell every black person that can hear my voice, no, they not. They are not scared of us. They are not scared of us. And I'm going to tell you why they are not scared of us. We may have hip hop and invented the culture and all of that, and people getting surgeries to look like us and getting nose and butt jobs. And I know black is beautiful. I know it is. But let me tell you why they're not scared of us. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jacoby. They're not scared of us because they own everything.
From a societal standpoint, yes. From an interpersonal standpoint, no. But I will also say this is, do you know what all white people need right now? And I might get fired for saying this, but whatever. You know what all people, white people need right now? Do you know what every single white person,
what?
You know what box
what?
They're trying to check right now? They all need that black friend. You know what I mean? And all and right now, scrambling. Like, it's like they should start like Tinder. They should start like a version of Tinder where it's like a sugar daddy situation. All white people need a black friend so they can say I've got black friends. You know what I mean? Like, there's a bunch of white people in West Virginia that are just like looking for black people so they can call friends. Because now they should really start like a Tinder, sort of a Tinder or some sort of like a one of those job websites, like a LinkedIn for black friends. Honestly, it's like a sugar daddy, sugar baby situation. Because white people really need black friends right now. Because there's a lot of people looking at their phones. They're at the Black Lives Matter march. You know what I mean? And they're quote unquote woke and they're with the team. But when you look at their phone, they scroll through their contacts. They're like, oh wow, not a Jamal in here. Like,
uh oh. A lot of Karens.
I gotta do some recruiting.
A lot of Karens.
I gotta do some recruiting on this. I gotta diversify this. But those same people got the Black Lives Matter t-shirt on. You know what I mean? And all of that. Ooh, I'm gonna get fired for this one today. A little too honest on that
you
one.
You can't get fired for spitting fire that are that's
little,
facts, bro.
I'm too honest.
All facts.
I'm too honest. It's a little too honest. All facts. I was early to the gotta have a black friend party.
You ain't have a choice. We drafted you. You didn't have a choice. You was a part of Chappelle draft.
Yo, no, this is a for real thing. I'm gonna switch to be semi-serious. This happened to me multiple times, right? What's my name, Jalen Rose, my first and last name?
David Jacoby.
A lot of people, based on those two words, assume that I'm Jewish. And that's fine. I totally understand that. It does sound like a Jewish name. I totally get that. Like, I don't even judge people for assuming that. But there's a certain type of person that even after I say I'm not Jewish, will sort of drill down and ask a follow-up question. You know what I mean? I said Merry Christmas to somebody one time, and they kind of looked at me twice, like, "Oh right, Merry Christmas, David Jacoby." And I was like, "Wait a second." I was like, "You really think I'm lying about this?" Like, I was there one time. I'll never forget this. This one Jewish man, and I like him a lot. We were outside of a bar. This is like a million years ago when I used to dabble in cigarette smoke once in a while. And he was like, "Hey man, you're Jewish, right?" And I was like, "No, I'm not. You know, just named David Jacoby." And he goes like, he looks me right in the eyes. He leans in. He goes, "It's all right, man. You can tell me." I'm like, "Bro, I'm not lying about not being Jewish. Like, I'm not going to wake up in the morning and lie about this. Like, why? Like, it's just, I understand why people would assume I was, but I don't understand after I say I'm not why people still don't believe me. Like, I would not be ashamed of that." Shout out to all my Jewish friends. I got those two.
They're just drafting you, dog. That's all. You're a commodity these days, dog. You white. You got a black wife. You got mixed kids. One of your best friends is already black, and you do a show with them. Like, you're a commodity right now.
You count as three black friends. That's how black you are. You count as three black friends. From Detroit, play basketball.
Got a part in my head.
Yeah. Oh, let's move on before we get fired. You had a chance to mention it, but Big Sean, new album out.
Detroit 2, what up, though?
What I love about Big Sean's music, and especially his albums, is he shows his versatility on his albums, you know? And you get a lot of different
bars.
And I also want to say this. I was in my car, and I saw on a playlist a new Nasir Jones song called Spicy, and I pushed play, Jalen, And Nas's verse is first. My man ASAP Ferg is on there as well. And another rapper I haven't heard of, but his verse is dope too. But this first verse, it's every once in a while, Nas just goes 1994. And like on this song called Spicy, his first verse, oof, Mets hat in the air like Bobby Shmurda. It's one of them because I'll listen to a song five times in a row. After his verse, I just push rewind. Then I listen to his verse again. Just push rewind and listen to it. Just push rewind. Listen to it. I can do that. My wife absolutely hates it. Big shout to Big Sean. Big shout to Nas.
Also, guess what else I'm doing Sunday night? I'm watching Power.
I know what you're doing. So I got to talk to you
about
this.
I'm watching Power.
You're not doing that Sunday night because I know you wouldn't watch. You wouldn't not watch a live NBA basketball game, but you also know that episode's coming out midnight on Saturday, right after the conclusion of the Nuggets Clippers. Right after the conclusion, the Nuggets Clippers is going to end at like 11:46, and you're just going to refresh your Stars app. You're just going to refresh it until 12:01 comes, and then watch it that night because I know you're going to be watching Sunday night. Rockets Lakers. I haven't really been able to express to my wife how she's really not going to see me at night. I'm not going to help put the kids to bed. I'm not going to make any dinner. I'm not going to put kids in pajamas. I'm not doing any bath time. I'm not doing that for about 30 days. Can you tell her? I don't want to tell her.
If you find that you don't like my ways, well, you can send me back in 30 days.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is taking voicemails from our listeners. You can call 985-80-JALEN and leave us a voicemail, and we'll put it on the show just like this.
What's up, Jalen? What's up, Jacoby? This is Phil again, Phil from D.C. Next question is, you haven't mentioned nothing about no statue news. What retired player now should be due for a statue?
I mean, obviously, answer Kobe got you. That. First of all, shout to Phil. Shout to Phil from D.C. Kobe, I mean, Kobe's... They're going to have to name the building after him or something. He needs more than a statue, but go ahead, Jay.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate the support. Tell a friend to tell a friend. We get the people what they want. I'll go intimate, deeper into the box score and not only tell you current players who are going to get statues, but also retired jerseys by the team that they're playing with. I'll do that for you since you took the time to call in.
I want to say this expert. To everyone listening. Whenever we make a list, there are omissions and mistakes. Whenever we make a list, there are omissions and mistakes. Just keep that in mind. Jalen, you have the floor.
Dirk in Dallas, statue.
Done.
You mentioned the legend, Kobe Bean Bryant. Rest in peace. Statue, L.A. Retired jersey that nobody will ever say that I'm going to say. Miami Heat, Udonis Haslam.
Oh, time served. You get time served points for that one.
You like that one, right?
You get time served points.
Miami statue, Dwayne Wade. As I go around the league, retired number in OKC.
No, there's one statue Russ. You're missing. You're missing one statue. Statue, Jalen Rose, outside Magic City. Continue.
That should already be there.
You already paid for it.
Exactly. I already did those donations. You know what I mean? Who was the last one
statue,
I just said?
Ann Arbor.
No doubt. So, Russell Westbrook statue in OKC.
Really?
Yep.
I don't know. Went to the finals once.
MVP statue. He's going to be the greatest player in the history of that franchise until the Paul George picks come.
Kevin Durant?
What? More time served.
So in San Antonio, do you do a group statue with Ginobili, Parker, and Duncan? Do you do a statue for Pop? Like, how do you encapsulate that dynasty in a statue format?
You do statues of all of them indoors.
Oh, like a little area inside the arena.
Yeah, that's so the
Spurs
way.
I think Kobe's getting one of those too. He's going to have like a little Kobe corner where they have like a whole Kobe area.
That's kind of the Spurs way, indoors.
Okay.
LeBron deserves a statue in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
And to have his number retired in Miami and Cleveland.
Yeah. Steph.
Steph. He gonna him the Splash Brothers get a statue.
Oh, you get you're putting Clay in the statue too?
Yeah. Clay gets slept on, man. Clay a top 15 player in the game, dog. Remember Jalen told you that.
But listen, I'll say this is, you know, I love players that play defense. Because people act like there's only one side of the floor. They really do. When people talk about NBA players, they act like there's only one side of the floor. And when you can
Clay Thompson, top 15 player in the league.
And Clay Thompson had a serious, serious hand in a lot of those championships. You know what? I can't wait till Giannis is on the Warriors. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be great. You know, I think you have to pick Wiseman to trade him. You know, like you pick Wiseman, you package him up.
Don't leave Giannis.
Little Wiggins and Wiseman, and maybe a future first. Wiggins, Wiseman, future first for an unhappy Giannis,
Chase,
who you know is not gonna re-sign.
Don't ring, Chase. You see, KD went there and got two rings and still ain't happy.
Oh, he's happy. KD is real happy. I could tell from all the ladies' pictures he likes on Instagram. He's happy. He's enjoying his pandemic. We got time for one more voicemail. What do you got?
Hey, Jalen. This is Gabby from Long Beach, California. I have two questions for you. All right. So, when the Lakers win the championship, because they are going to win, what is the Lakers parade going to look like? My second question is Anthony Davis, you think, going to stay with the Lakers, or will he get traded? Thank you. Let me know.
Jalen, you know what? I'm going to say this on the TV show at some point, because whenever this Anthony Davis thing gets brought up, right? People say, well, if it doesn't go well, if they flame out and they get swept by the Rockets, then Anthony Davis will leave. You know what? I feel the opposite. I feel like the only conditions in which Anthony Davis is leaving the Lakers is the opposite. They win a championship. LeBron James retires. That's the only way I see Anthony Davis leaving LA. It's basically, they win a championship. LeBron James says, I did it in three cities, three teams. I'm the GOAT. I'm done. And he leaves. And then Anthony Davis looks around. And he's like, we got Caruso, Deion Waiters. I don't know. And JaVale McGee. Like, I don't know if I'm going to run this back. I've done this with the Pelicans before. That's the only way that I see him not re-signing. And this is a very Laker fan thing for Gabby to do. And even though I picked the Lakers to win the championship, I'm not planning the parade quite yet. You see the Clippers last night? Like, Gabby's planning the parade. She's like, all right, is it social distancing? Is it going to be virtual? Is it Zoom fans? Like, Gabby, let's not worry about championship parades before you've even won one game in the second round. You know, let's just slow down, Gabby. Thank you for the call.
Appreciate the love and the support.
Big shout out to Gabby's
giving the people what they want.
You heard
no doubt about it.
You
can relate to that.
Love that.
And appreciate
love
that.
We have Labor Day off.
Lead distance. Parade up and down Olympic in Figueroa. That city understands how to give parades. It's done it 16 times. It will not be any issue. They got enough money and enough power. They win a championship, they're going to have a parade.
Jay.
And rightfully so.
So, Jay, there's some news today that the Russian vaccine has passed phase two. They're already mass distributing it to the Russian people. If I had it right now in my hand, would you take it?
I'm good. I'm not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, I'm good too.
So good.
Me and my wife were talking about this. I'm fine.
I ain't the guinea pig.
I don't need a vaccine so I can do what? Go to a restaurant? Go to a bar? You know, like have four people in an elevator? Like this lifestyle is working fine for me right now. I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be first in line for the vaccine. I'll let the doctors in my country decide whether or not I'm gonna take the vaccine. And then I'm gonna wait like 3 weeks to make sure that people don't grow a third arm or something. We will be back on Wednesday with another dope pod to step to. Don't forget to call 985-80-JALEN right now. Leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the show on Wednesday. We'll be back. Enjoy Jalen Rose on Countdown all weekend long. You got your outfits together. You got Andy Authentic booked to get to the haircuts.
Yes.
We good?
Yes. 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 Great. Gotta stay crisp. Industry tastemaker, Renaissance man style.
Enjoy Countdown with Jalen Rose all weekend. We will be back on Wednesday. Why is that, Jalen?
We are not done. We're not done. We're not done.